On behalf of the family, we thank you for joining us for the funeral service today of Mr. Terry Elk. By way of announcement, at the end of the funeral, if you are not going to the cemetery, could you kindly remain in the sanctuary so that when they get back from the cemetery, we'll be able to file through and the food line. And you are, of course, invited to join the family for a light lunch. Dear friends and family, this is a Christian funeral service directed to the great and gracious triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and conducted in loving memory of Terry Elk. Terry was a beloved disciple of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Terry was born into the church militant on May 10, 1948, and he passed into the church triumphant on Thursday, December 31, 2020. He was 72 years of age. Let us now worship our Almighty God by attending to the inspired words of the 63rd Psalm. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land, where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. Let's pray. Almighty and glorious God, you are the maker and the sustainer of all things. You, O God, are indeed sovereign over all of your creation. You are the God in whom we live and move and have our being, who gives life and breath and all things. You, Lord, declare the end from the beginning, and you, Lord, numbered our days before we had one. And so in the knowledge of this, we pray that you would grant peace through the knowledge of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would be our refuge and our strength, our very present help in trouble. Now send your Holy Spirit to comfort. May the promises of his word console all. O Lord, may the beauty of your gospel appear more glorious now than ever we have perceived before. And it's in the name of your only begotten Son, and our Lord Jesus Christ, that we do pray. Amen. At this point, we have the reading of the obituary. Terry Elk, age 72, of Minnow, South Dakota, passed away at home on Thursday, December 31, 2020. Terry was diagnosed with brain cancer on August 17 of 2020. After 3 weeks of cancer treatment, he tested positive for COVID-19. He then spent 3 weeks at Avera McKinnon Hospital and 6 weeks at Freeman Regional Hospital Services before returning home on hospice care. Terry was born on May 10, 1948 to Richard and Adela Elk in the Scotland Hospital. He was baptized and confirmed at Zion Reformed Church by Reverend William Korn. He graduated from Minnow High School in 1966 and served in the National Guard from 67 through 73. On April 16, 1972, Terry was married to Marion Seiler Elk by Reverend Robert Stubbe at the Zion Reformed Church. Together, they farmed for 48 years and were blessed with 2 children, Kevin and Christy. Terry lived and worked on this same farm his entire life. He was an active member of Zion Reformed Church, and he served as Sunday school teacher, trustee, and deacon. Terry enjoyed being on the farm, watching and playing sports, traveling, and attending any of his family's events. Each of his 5 grandchildren held a special place in his heart. He loved watching Kaylee perform her many choir and band concerts and so badly wanted to attend her next choir concert at Northwestern College. He enjoyed spending time with Brandon, teaching him how to farm. Brandon was a big help to his grandpa, and especially the past couple years. Terry always loved Paige's kind, gentle personality, and often said her smile could light up any room. And Terry enjoyed hearing about Blake's many hunting and fishing stories. Was so happy Blake took after the Elks' love for hunting and fishing. Terry was proud to have a grandson who loved sports as much as he did and enjoyed watching Tannen play in his many sporting events. Grateful for having shared his life are his wife Marion of Middle South Dakota, one son, Kevin Elk, and his wife Brenda of Freeman, South Dakota, one daughter, Christy, and her husband, Corey Stahl of Freeman, South Dakota, five grandchildren, Kaylee, Paige, Tannen, Elk, Brandon, and Blake Stahl, sister-in-law, Vicorn of Freeman, South Dakota, and sister-in-law, Ramona, and husband, Charles Hoff of Tripp, South Dakota, many friends and other relatives. Terry was preceded in death by his parents, Richard and Adela, parents-in-law, Reuben and Martha Seiler, brother-in-law, Roland Seiler, and his wife, Sandra, sister-in-law, Ruth Atkins, and her husband, Stanley, brother-in-law, Ralph Korn, two nephews, Douglas Seiler and Russell Atkins. Let's now attend once more to the reading of some scripture from Psalm 124. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and the earth. From Job 19. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold him, and not another. From John 11. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And finally, 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. The consolation of God himself from his holy word. At this point, we have an opportunity to respond to the comfort from our God by singing Amazing Grace. We'll remain seated as we sing the six stanzas. It's number 460 in the hymn book in front of you of Amazing Grace. Thank you. Scripture reading this morning will be from the Gospel of John, chapter 14. We'll read the first, actually I'll read six verses, but our focus will be on the first four. Give now attention to the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Where I go, you know, in the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. Thus ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. May the Lord himself add his blessing to it. Jesus had just informed the disciples of the truth that he was about to leave them. They did not yet fully understand the humiliation in the hell which Jesus was about to voluntarily take upon himself, but they were beginning to become concerned. In verse 36 of the previous chapter, our Savior rebuked Peter by saying, Where I go, you cannot follow, but you shall follow me afterward. As part of Jesus' assurance then to Peter and to all of his disciples, we are found in the verses which we have just read. In summary, Jesus told them that he was returning to his Father's house, and in due time his beloved children would join him there. That's really what we're celebrating here today, this morning. Jesus, having completed his work on the earth, that work of perfect obedience to the law of God, that work of perfect submission to the justice of God, returning to the Father, to that place prepared for us. And now, one of our dearly beloved has gone on to that prepared home, the way home. So firstly, I'd like to consider, let your hearts no longer be troubled. Secondly, a place waits for us in glory. And finally, the way to our prepared home is not a secret. Let not your hearts be troubled. Or a better translation would really be, let your hearts no longer be troubled. That's really the better translation of what is going on here. It's not a matter of Jesus saying to people who were neutral, now don't get concerned. No, he was speaking to a people who were already concerned, whose hearts were already troubled, who were not certain of what was coming. He said, let your hearts no longer be troubled. I'm leaving you, and that's concerning you, but it shouldn't. Let me calm you. Let me give you the reason why you need not be concerned. Peter and his other disciples were confused at the departure of Christ. Many of them were anticipating that Christ was going to continue to gather influence and that all of Israel would gather around him and they would cast off the shackles of Roman law. That wasn't what he came for. Our Savior did not come to reign in Jerusalem. He came as that final son of David, that one who would reign forever, though not on the throne in Jerusalem, not on the throne of man's doing, but on the eternal throne as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's what his purpose was. That was why he had come, and that was why he was leaving. That was why he was marching to Jerusalem. That was why he was marching to Golgotha. That was why he was placing himself upon the cross. That was why he would be calling out, my God, why have you forsaken me? So that Terry would not be forsaken. So that you and I, his children, would not be forsaken. We who had voluntarily made ourselves enemies, Jesus was returning home now so that our hearts would no longer be troubled. So that we would indeed have peace. Jesus wants you, the church, to know that his sacrificial death, his burial, his ascension are causes for comfort. They're not causes for anxiety. Thereby, by his work, our homes are being prepared. Our place is being established. And Jesus' departure was not forever. When he ascended from earth after his resurrection in the presence of his disciples, he went and he sits at the right hand of God the Father, that we would have one of us there. But he shall return, we're reminded also from Scripture, upon the clouds. In this grave, in our bodies, and those who have gone before will be raised up. Let your hearts no longer be troubled. And the reason for our comfort? Because Jesus is God. Believe you in God, believe also in me, Jesus says. I am God is essentially his response. Here Jesus is making the logical connection. That is, since you have faith in God, then you should also have faith in me. Jesus was spelling out once again for his disciples that he and the Father are one. Just a couple verses later, no one comes to the Father but by me. The divinity of Jesus was a primary purpose for the writing of John's gospel. He begins his whole gospel with that emphasis upon the divinity of who Christ is. You recall those words, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing that was made was made. Why do our hearts no longer need to be troubled? Because Jesus is God. And so he could authoritatively speak of the conclusion of that sacrificial work and the fact that our home is prepared. So our hearts need not be troubled because God and Jesus is taking care of all of the details for his children. We need not, nor can we, add one iota. We can be uncertain of our friends. We can be uncertain of our family. And we can and should be uncertain of our own abilities. In this world, there are no certainties as much as we want them to be. But Jesus reminds us that he is God, and he has personally taken care of all of the details. We don't have to wonder if one or two of them had slipped by. He has done it. You believe in the Father, believe thou also in me. Was there a single sin that perhaps got overlooked? One of my offenses that was not covered by the blood? Absolutely not. For the sacrifice was complete, the payment was made, the arrangements are met, and the house is prepared. That leads us then to the second point, which is a place waits for us in glory. We will not be homeless upon our death. Terry is not homeless now. An astounding word picture is set before us in these second couple of verses. If it were not so, I would not have told you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now, we're all familiar with apartment buildings. A building with separate rooms for each tenant. Or perhaps we would even think of a condominium where there's a little bit more ownership. Or maybe we could even spread out the analogy to look at a housing development. But before us is a picture of God's house. And all of the pictures that our mind conjures up fall far short of what Jesus is speaking of, our eternal estate. Here we have God's home, and within His home are not single-bedroom apartments, or even double-bedroom apartments, not even executive estates. But what He sets before us is a home with many mansions, fully prepared for His children. Now, word pictures are meant to be analogies. They're not precise portrayals. We're not expecting that we're going to get to heaven. There will be one giant house with little mansions built up inside it. But Jesus has showing us something of the glory of our eternal estate. It is like unto nothing that we have ever experienced nor can experience. We're reminded that all things are greater with God. Our frail minds cannot comprehend the things of heaven. Guess what? Terry's beginning to see. He's beginning to understand just a small fraction of the glories of eternal life, and we're shown just a small picture of it here. And there will be no more sorrows, no more tears. There will be no more brain tumors. There will be no more weaknesses. There will be no more sin. All the effects of sin being wiped away. Why? For the praise and the glory of God. That we would glorify His name and say, this is the work of my Lord. This is the work of Christ Jesus to whom I belong. So the way to our prepared home is not a secret. If you do not yet know the way to glory, it's set here before us. Find one who is united to Christ, and he or she will gladly walk you through. Because God has given us the way right here in His Word. In this chapter, in this book, but in the 66 books, clearly laid out the way to Christ. The way to God is union through Christ by true faith. Hating the sin that yet clings to us. Looking to Christ as the payment for all of it. God does not work by way of some Da Vinci code that we have to hope that we find the right pattern and are able to decipher the way to heaven. He lays it out clearly and boldly for us. There's no secret handshake that must be mastered. Christ Himself tells us in verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. Or Acts chapter 16. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Or consider Romans chapter 10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We can have confidence when we're united to God by the finished work of Christ. That mansion is being prepared for us. That mansion was prepared by Christ alone and is sure and is certain. We cannot follow Jesus to the sacrificial death. We cannot follow Jesus to the hell which He endured for us. We cannot sustain it. We certainly thereby cannot earn any sort of life. But on account of that sacrificial death and the hell which Christ Himself did endure, we can join God through Him. And we will. And join those saints who have gone before. And we will. And in that house of many mansions, which our Lord has prepared for us, we'll be ready. Because it has already been made ready by this Christ. A glorious picture. A glorious comfort. There are tears today, and rightly there should be, because we miss Terry. But he has no tears. Not a bit of weeping. And the thought of returning to this sin-tainted, fallen world would be repulsive. Because he sees glory. He sees his mansion. And so shall we. This is not the end. In a little bit here, we will bring the casket to the cemetery. There'll be a committal service. And a committal service means precisely that. We are committing this body to the ground for a little while. And it will be raised up again. With the bodies of all the saints who have gone before for life eternal. So this is a day of joy in many ways. Mingled with sorrow, absolutely. But a day of joy. And for that we rejoice with our dear brother. Let's pray. Almighty and most merciful God, You are the consolation of the sorrowful. You are the support of the weary. You who do not delight in the grieving nor the afflictions of the children of men, we pray that You would look down now in tender love and pity upon Your servants in this bereaved household, whose joy has been turned into mourning. Be pleased to uphold, to strengthen, to comfort them according to the multitude of Your mercies, so that they might not faint under Your hand, but they would find in You their strength and refuge, which is through Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. Amen. We are about to receive the benediction. That is, God Himself sending us away with His blessing. After the benediction, I'll step down and the family will file up. And at that time, if you are able, we will ask you to stand and sing number 541 when the roll is called up yonder. So now receive the Lord's parting blessing and His benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Amen.